Morning. I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ear to my cry for help. You came near when I called on you, and you said, "Do not fear." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
When I was little growing up, we would often take trips from Clarendon to Memphis. When I was in elementary and junior high and high school, Memphis had the closest Pizza Hut. And so we would often make a trip to go to Pizza Hut. Or there was a time when we would go to Memphis because we went to Jimmy Goldston, who had a barber shop in Memphis. And there was a little store just down from Jimmy's barbershop that Mom liked to go and visit with the owner of the store. But every time we would go, when I was really little, we would be going on 287, and I would look down the road, and there would be water on the road. And I would be waiting for the car to go through the water. There was something about when I was little that I just loved the car to splash water. And I would get excited, and I would wait, and I would wait, and we would get to where the water was supposed to be, and the water wasn't there. And I tried to figure out what in the world is going on. And this happened time after time, and eventually I got smart enough and said, "Hey, Mom, what's the deal? There's water on the road, but when we get to it, the water's not there." And she said, "It's just a mirage." "Well, what's a mirage?" "Well, your eyes think that something's there, but it's really not there. Your eyes are playing tricks on you." Your eyes ever play tricks on you? Or maybe, may not be your eyes, maybe it's your ears. Have you ever heard something that somebody actually never said? "I know you said it." "I did not. I never said that." Sometimes our ears play tricks on us. And there are times that our feelings play tricks on us. There are times we think we see things that aren't there. There are times we think we hear things that aren't there. And there are times we feel things that aren't there. And sometimes those things that we think are there are so overwhelming that we forget the rest of what's reality. Because it's almost like we have these blinders on and we're so focused on this thing that we think is in front of us, that we think we're going to have to deal with, that we forget about reality. We're limited by what we see. Now, when you were little, or maybe when your kids were little, or maybe your grandkids, did they ever ask for something and you have to tell them no? And the response was, "You don't love me anymore." Now, did you still love them, or did your parents or grandparents still love you? Absolutely. But in that moment, when you wanted something and you thought the only thing that will make life better, that will make life full, that will make life complete is me getting this package of Skittles from the convenience store. And when I'm told no, my whole world falls apart and nobody loves me anymore. I think sometimes we can feel like that with God, can't we? Because we're so focused on what we think is what is in front of us, this thing that we're dealing with, this thing that we're scared of, this thing that we're not sure how to get through, and we think, "God, you don't love me anymore, otherwise I wouldn't be having to deal with this stuff." We forget the rest of reality. The early church, everybody went through a catechism, a learning about who God is and who we are as His children. So that when they came to these times when our eyes told us something was there and it really wasn't, and our ears told us something was there and it really isn't, or our feelings something's there and there really isn't, they had a way of moving through the stuff that's not really there to the stuff that really is there. To God, to be with Him and who He is and what He really does in our lives. Several years ago, there were a bunch of commercials that came out for Verizon, and they had a catchphrase that every commercial had it. Can you hear me now? Have you ever asked that to God? Can you hear me now? Is there something I'm doing that makes it so that my prayers aren't going up to your ears and you're not listening? Or maybe that's the question we ask. Are you listening? God, why is all this stuff happening? Why are you not doing something? And we can go back to the Old Testament and we can read in Exodus where the people of God asked that for 400 years. God, are you listening? If you are, why aren't you doing something? We can read in the Psalms that psalmists, they may not use those words, but you get the idea that they're asking God, why aren't you doing anything? If you're hearing my prayers, why aren't you doing anything? Get to Jeremiah in Lamentations. Jeremiah had been a prophet, and God had spoken to him, and he said, tell my people these things. And the things he was to tell God's people were not things the people wanted to hear. The people were going through some tragedies. They were going through some hard times. They were facing injustices. They were facing evil. And they wanted to know, God, why aren't you doing anything? And if you remember last week, I had a Jenga tower up here. And the people of God, they were creating their own tower that was going to fall. God had told them over and over, be in relationship with me. And in being in relationship with me, this is the way you are to live. And if you do live this way, things will go good. But there are other people that you're going to live around next to who are going to try to influence you, and they want you to do these things. And these things are not good for your soul. They're not good for your life. So don't do these things. Do these good things. Stay away from these bad things. Easy choice, right? But as we know from the Old Testament, over and over and over, they chose the things that were not good for their body, their mind, their spirit. And so what they were doing is they were taking a block away and placing it in a spot that it wasn't supposed to go over and over and over. And when the tower fell and a mess was made, they wanted to blame God. God, why aren't you doing anything? Why haven't you cleaned up our mess? And God said through His prophets over and over and over, a mess is going to happen if you continue this way. So live life this way. And Jeremiah says in Lamentations, as he's grieving that the people are having to go through the stuff that they're having to deal with because it was of their own making. But he says, when I cry out, when I'm in this pit, when I feel like you've abandoned me, I know that you hear me. Do you know that? Do you know that God hears you when you cry out? One of Jesus' followers, John, wrote in his letter, 1 John chapter 5, he writes this, I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. And we are confident that He hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases Him. God is listening. God hears our cries. God hears our prayers. But are we listening to God? Or are we like one of those people of God so long ago that had the option of choosing good and choosing evil, and more often than not, we choose the wrong thing? Are we listening to God? We talk to our children about megaphones, and megaphones are things that help amplify our voice. Megaphones were meant to amplify our voice, for someone to give instructions, for someone to lead a cheer, for someone to get other people's attentions. You know, back in the day, at the circus, you had the ringmaster who would speak through the megaphone to let people know about the amazing things that were going to be at the circus. Or people were at the corner speaking through a megaphone to let you know what the latest news was, that you'd buy the paper and find out more about what was going on. But it's hard for us to have a conversation through a megaphone, because this is really meant for one-way information transfer. But sometimes that's the way we treat God, isn't it? We treat prayer more like a megaphone. Hey, God, these are the things I want you to know about and the things that I want you to do. And it's not meant for a lot of talking. It's meant for the highlights. And so we can't get very deep with God if all we're doing is shouting at Him, God, do something. Now we can say and we can pray and we can have a conversation with God about what we want Him to do. But if we don't stop and listen, God may be working and we're missing it because we're so busy focusing on the things we think are there instead of seeing the things God is actually doing. So prayer needs to be more about a conversation. As I was telling kids, I have earbuds that I often wear, and I'll don't tell Joanne, but sometimes I wear them in the office, and she'll come in and she'll start talking to me, and I have to pause my iPhone and take them out of my ear and ask her what she said, because I wasn't listening to her, I was listening to something else, right? So I can put my earbuds in my ear, and some people don't realize they're there because they're small and they're inside. But there are bigger headphones, right, that we can put on that cover our ears and help us listen to the thing that we're trying to focus in on. Whether it be a speech or a sermon, or maybe it's music that we're trying to listen to, or maybe we're watching a video and we're watching it, but we're trying to hear it better. But this eliminates a lot of the stuff that's going on around us. What if we treated prayer a little more like headphones, that we were focused in on the one who's longing to speak to us, who has something to say to us, because He knows what we're going through. He knows what we're dealing with. He knows that we're struggling, and He knows that we're having a hard time, and He wants us to know that He's with us. And when we have our headphones on and we have some sound coming through it, it doesn't sound like the sound is coming from here. The sound is in here. Those voices are here, close to us, near us. And what if we remembered as we prayed that God is as near to us all the time as that voice or that music is when we have our headphones on? And not only is God close to us and near us, but He's listening to us. He hears the cries of our heart. He knows what we're going through. And He wants to speak into our lives. God hears our voice. And if we remember that God is close to us, and we said this several times over the last couple of weeks, God isn't just Emmanuel at Christmas time. He's Emmanuel all the time. And Emmanuel means God is with us. God is with us all the time. And if we know He is right here with us, He's not somewhere far away that He's forgotten us. He's not somewhere far away thinking, watch this. I'm going to do something bad to this person. Let's see what happens. God doesn't do that. God wants good for us. And He asks us to follow Him and do life His way. But bad things happen when we choose to do life our own way. But when we remember that God is with us, God is here, it's easier for us to say, okay, God, this is what I'm going through. And I'm mad about it. I'm sad about it. I'm disappointed. I'm all these emotions. And it's okay for us to tell God this stuff. But we don't just verbally vomit and then walk away. We talk to God about what's going on, and then we wait and listen. Because He has something to say to us. And sometimes that voice says, I know, and I'm so sorry. Let me walk with you through it. We want God just to get us out of it. But more often than not, God walks us through it. When we know that God is with us, it's easier for us to pray prayers that matter. Prayers that are specific, prayers that are honest, prayers that are vulnerable. So do you know that God is with you? Do you know that God listens when you try to have a conversation with Him, when you pray to Him? Do you know that He hears? Do you know that He is near? And do you know that He will never leave you? Because He loves you. We've looked at the Psalms several times over the last several weeks. We've looked at the prophets. We've looked at some of the New Testament letters. And especially the Psalms. The Psalms have this rawness to them that the writer is saying, God, this is what I'm feeling. These are the things that I'm seeing. This is what I'm hearing. But there's always a time in the psalm where it says, but I will trust in You. Can we make that turn? Can we pour out the stuff we're feeling? This is what I'm seeing. This is what I'm hearing. This is what I see in front of me, and it may just be a mirage. But even though this stuff is there, and I'm concerned about it, and I'm worried about it, I'm trying to deal with it, I will still trust in You. Maybe something we need to do this week is we need to write our own psalm. God, this is what I want You to know. But include in it, but I will still trust in You. Because, maybe it's because of your favorite verse in the Bible that you say, that gives me hope. Or maybe it's because I have a group of friends that I know are praying for me, praying with me, who are walking through life with me. And I know I'm not alone because you are in them, and through them, You're ministering to me. Or maybe we need to write a lamentation. God, life just seems so unfair. All these things have happened to me, and it's not right. It's not what I expected. It's not what I thought life was going to look like. But then we say with Jeremiah, but I know You hear me. And maybe the most important thing that Jeremiah said in the passage that we read is, God said back to him, do not fear. Do not fear, because God is with us. Do not fear, because He hears us and He will never leave us. Do you need to hear that this morning? Do you need to live in that this morning? That you were heard, you were seen, you were loved, and you will never be left. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.